In these moments of affectionate remembrance, we thank God for the life and work of Dr. J.B. Hipps, who devoted 36 years to the Christian missionary enterprise in China, who served with distinction as the first professor of missions in this school, and who completed his earthly pilgrimage on December 30, 1967. At the first formal meeting of the faculty of the Southeastern Baptist Seminary, held on Tuesday morning, September 4, 1951, Dr. Hipps led the opening prayer. From that day until his terminal illness, he prayed for the well-being of this community of learning. In recognition of the power of the gospel in Dr. Hipps' courageous and constructive ministry, we shall sing hymns of praise. Dr. Ian Patterson will lead us in prayer. Dr. Elmo Scoggin will read paragraphs from the Bible, and we shall hear a memorial message by Dr. Luther Copeland. We shall unite in the singing of hymn number 100, In the Cross of Christ, Our Glory.
Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning to thank Thee for the beauty that can be wrapped up in a human life, for the treasure that Thou dost place in earthen vessels. This morning we want to thank Thee especially for the beauty and meaning of the life of our friend and associate, Dr. Hipps. We want to thank Thee that as a child, like Timothy, he first learned the gospel story from the lips of his preacher father and from his devoted Christian mother. We thank Thee that early he was led to give his heart and life to Christ. And then later on, as he was faced with the question as to what to do with his life, that he had his own personal vision of the cross and saw his Lord hanging on that cross, giving himself for him and for the life of the world, and that he fell at the foot of that cross and yielded his own life to the work of the ministry. We thank Thee for the broadening vision which enabled him with Paul to say that those things that were gain for me, I count but loss for Christ. And that in an effort to lay hold of that for which Christ had laid hold of him, he went to the ends of the earth with the glorious gospel of Christ. We thank Thee for his rich, fruitful years spent largely among young people, for the many hundreds of young people that he had the privilege of touching and training for Thy glory. We thank Thee that in spite of all the vicissitudes of his years on the foreign field, that he never turned back, but through storm and stress and shade and sunshine, he pursued what he felt to be the way that had been marked out for him by his Lord. And then we thank Thee for the fact that when his work there was ended, that he found a fruitful place of service here and helped to lay the foundations of this school on the very grounds where, as a young man, he had attended college. We thank Thee for what his counsel and his teaching and his presence meant during the early years of this school. We thank thee for the crowning work of his life. As he continued to pray and to think and to write in order that he might leave to those following him the story of our great Christian cause, we thank thee that he continued to dream dreams and see visions, and that like the palm tree, he continued to bear fruit in his old age. We thank thee for his devoted companion, for his sons and their families. We thank thee that they had the privilege of sharing so intimately and so wonderfully the riches of his life. And we pray that underneath them and around them, they may feel as never before the comfort of thine everlasting arms. And to those of us of this institution, we pray that we may be given the grace to take the inspiration of his life and labors and teachings, and to follow more faithfully in the train of him who was the chief passion of his life, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, we ask it. Amen.
Dr. Hipps placed a tremendously high value on the written scriptures. Among the many favorite passages which influenced his life, I have chosen to read excerpts from two. The sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery arrows of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I read first, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then over to verse 50 of the same chapter. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
We come today in the spirit of worship and praise to honor the memory of an able and great man who has made a permanent contribution to the life of this school and an even greater contribution to the life of China and the larger cause of Christian missions, Dr. John Birder Hips, born February 12, 1884, died December 30, 1967, aged 83 years, 10 and a half months. I doubt if many of us are able adequately to measure the true stature of Dr. Hipp's life for two reasons. First, we have known him well only outside the context of the culture in which his life was most deeply involved, namely the culture of China. From 1913, when as a young man of 29 years he arrived in China, until 1949, when at the age of 65 he was forced out of China by the Communist Revolution, that is, for a space of 36 years, his mind and spirit were immersed in Chinese culture, and his major work and thought and creativity operated in the Chinese cultural media. We would have known his true greatness better if we had seen him in context. Secondly, when he came as one of the founding fathers to the faculty of this school, in the summer of 1951, before the first class was admitted that autumn, he was already 67 years of age, beyond the usual retirement age of foreign missionaries. Undoubtedly, a lifetime of arduous labors, revolutions, personal tragedies, illnesses, and shattering vicissitudes had sapped some of his remarkable energies and creativity. Even so, the man we knew as the first professor of missions at Southeastern Seminary was a man of unusual ability. He was able to produce a very creditable set of lectures on the history of missions, to inspire students with his course on the spiritual life, to write the first draft of the first bulletin of this seminary, to exercise crucial leadership as chairman of the committee which shaped the first curriculum of the school, and after retirement from this second career, to write two major books and see them through publication, A History of the University of Shanghai, published in 1964 when the author was 80, and his autobiography entitled 50 Years in Christian Missions, published 2 years later when he was 82. Actually, his career spanned 60 years in Christian missions, from 1907 when he assumed the principalship of a mountain home mission school in Western Virginia, until his final illness in 1967, which overtook him still making plans to write the biographies of two great Chinese Baptist leaders, intimate friends of his who had been martyred for the sake of Christ. Dr. Hipps was of sturdy Appalachian stock, his grandparents being pioneer farmers in Buncombe and Madison counties, and himself a native of Madison County in western North Carolina. Though a product of a rugged environment, Dr. Hipps was a sickly child, growing up, in his words, as a slender youth and not very strong. In his early years in China also, he suffered ill health, including what was diagnosed as a very serious nervous breakdown. However, he proved to be as tough and resilient as an ironwood sapling, outliving many men who were more robust than he, including his two younger brothers, who, to use his words, were strong and healthy in their youth. From beginning until end, Dr. Hipps' career was one of scholarship. He was educated in a public school at the flats of Spring Creek in Madison County, and at Mars Hill College and Wake Forest College, being graduated with the Bachelor of Arts degree from the latter school on this campus in 1907, magna cum laude. For the next 3 years, he was principal of Lee Baptist Institute in Pennington Gap, Virginia. Then he took the regular 3-year course at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Louisville, Kentucky. In 1913, a few months after his graduation at Louisville, he sailed for China. Within 3 years, he had completed his 2-year course of Chinese language study and had become full professor of Old Testament interpretation in the University of Shanghai, teaching both in the college and seminary departments of that fine school, which was jointly supported by Northern and Southern Baptists. For some years, he also directed the athletic program of the school. Eventually, he became a member of the Administrative Council of the university, chairman of the Division of Religious Studies, and representative of the Board of Founders, this latter position being similar to that of Executive Vice President. As such, he served with great effectiveness with a succession of 3 Chinese presidents, and during severe crises, including the Japanese occupation of the campus beginning in 1937, rehabilitation of the school following World War II, and the fall of Shanghai to the communists in 1949. Meantime, on furloughs, Dr. Hipps had taken advanced degree programs at Union Theological Seminary and Columbia University in New York, being awarded a missionary fellowship at Union 1920-21. In 1935, Wake Forest College conferred upon him the honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity. Dr. Hipps' life was characterized by fidelity to his Christian vocation, an expansive vision of the world and of the kingdom of God, an open-minded and earnest search for truth, a courageous espousal of progressive causes, and an unusual candor and forthrightness tempered by a high good humor. Some key phrases which recurred in Dr. Hipps' vocabulary were expressive of the spirit of the man. "I'll tell you, fellas," usually prefaced a funny story and a hearty laugh, or else a matter on which the speaker had a decided opinion. "Move right on out" was expressive of his progressive and optimistic outlook. stay by the stuff, was an exhortation, or with a different grammatical construction, a description of those who received this old warrior's commendation. For he had a singleness of purpose and a stubborn tenacity by which he set himself to a task and stayed with it. In 1914, after 1 year in China, he was in the throes of an illness, and after examination by three or four physicians, the mission doctor advised him to make arrangements to return to the United States as soon as possible. The young missionary had no intention of following the doctor's advice. However, he asked the doctor for a letter about his health to send to his mother, who was anxious about him. The doctor made the mistake of turning the letter over to Mr. Hips, having written as follows: "Dear Mrs. Hips, your son has had a very serious nervous breakdown. He cannot live in China. He should return to the U.S. and work on a farm. He will never be able to assume very heavy responsibilities as a minister. He may sometime be able to assume the pastorate of a country church. I hope you will not worry about him. Sincerely yours." Mr. Hips tore up the letter and determined not to return to the United States until his regular furlough, which was 6 years hence, which was precisely what he did, leaving his doctor and his nervous breakdown to fend for themselves. Those of us who knew Dr. Hips are fortunate to have the benediction of his friendship. He has told me that he could look back upon the several major decisions of his life in the assurance that each of them was a right decision. He lived in integrity. His faith in God was such that he was not over-dismayed or discouraged when revolutionary happenings in China seemed to destroy much of what he had labored through a long and difficult career to build. 3 weeks before his death, though with considerable mental disorientation and loss of memory because of an inadequate blood supply through tired arteries, he yet spoke with clarity and conviction of his own interpretation of life. More than once in a brief conversation in his living room, he remarked that one must pour meaning into life by doing something worthwhile. "My life has been worthwhile," he reiterated, "and I'm not afraid to die." Characteristically, Dr. Hips closed his prayers with the phrase, "In the Master's name." He was an independent mountain boy who at an early age met and recognized the Master, the Master whom alone he deemed worthy of his total worship and his unqualified loyalty.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, and as the light of eternity falls upon our passing days, may the truth which we have seen in the face of Jesus Christ and in the face of Dr. J.B. Hips
illuminate each step of our way.